Well, welcome, everybody. Good to see you guys. Thanks. I'm so glad we've gotten to this point in our relationship where you guys know what I need. I don't even have to ask for it. I just give you the little prompt, and then you guys just take care of me. Thanks, you guys. Hey, we're going to talk about something that's not going to be too earth-shattering for you, at least as far as intellectually. I don't think it's going to wow you. But I have a sense that if this topic becomes a reality in your life, just like I'm hoping it's becoming a reality in my life, it really will change things. Have you guys gotten to the place in life where you can kind of keep yourself pretty well entertained with some neat ideas, and you can do a little intellectual gymnastics, and you kind of, that's pretty entertaining, but then like life never really all that much changes? Good. I'm glad we're connecting on that. Well, I'm getting to the place, I don't know if it's my age or if it's just summertime or what the deal is, but I'm just becoming kind of dissatisfied unless it really, like, really changes the way that my life works. I'm finding myself kind of less drawn to just kind of cute ideas. And I find myself going back to, you know, just real simple questions and saying, okay, does that really work? Is this something that really is going to transform my marriage or transform my life in some way? And so this is one of those ideas, and it's one of the 24 characteristics that's in your reengage experience. And so we're gonna zone in on the idea of what does it mean to confess. Okay, I could just feel the room deflate right there, but that's okay. Confession. What comes to your mind when you think of that right out the way? And feel free. I know we don't usually interact, but I'm just curious. What if you just think of the word confession? What are some pictures that come to your mind? What's that again? Oh, thanks. Yeah, you're going to beat the confession right out of me. Like there's some kind of, in my notes here, I did. So I didn't have the whip. Thanks there, Phil. But I did have like some kind of interrogation scene. You know, it's like, I don't know if I did it or not, but you'll get the confession out of me. And, you know, like some kind of smoky room with a really dark light. Kind of like this one here. And, you know, there's like lawyers involved and, you know, and there's just, you know, like a two-sided, you know, one-sided, you know, mirror or something like that, and a confession happens. And you know, next thing you know, I'm getting dragged out of there with, you know, like an ankle bracelet and, you know, shackles and something like that. That's what comes to my mind when I think of confession. Or sometimes I think of it kind of in a religious sense. And my mom grew up Catholic, and so the few times as a kid that we went to church, you know, immediately my mind goes to, hey, well, you can go kind of talk to this special person who wears lots of linens that would, you know, it's just great to hang out and be able to kind of bare your soul with him. So I think of it sometimes as a kind of in a Catholic tradition of confession. But I have to tell you, other than that, I don't have a whole lot of other scenes going on in my mind of what in the world that even means or what does it look like. And so I hope that what happens tonight is you begin to kind of think about how does my marriage look with the idea that confession becomes kind of a characteristic part of it. Not just something that happens every once in a while, but something that really is kind of a routine and natural part of confession. So one of the things I want to get out of the way real quickly is just what in the world that word confession means and how is it used. And so one of my favorite verses in the Bible, this is a great one. If you're not someone who memorizes scripture, this is a great place to jump on board because it's a great, great verse. And it's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And when I very first started reading scripture and memorizing it, this was one of the early ones that I picked up. And so here's what it looks like. Oh, good grief, I already botched it. Let's see here. It is good for the soul. It's good for my soul. So here's what 1 John says. See if this resonates with you. I'm actually going to start back in verse 8, okay? So, but verse 9 is where it hits home. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then here's verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say that again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word there, confess, you guys, well, what does it mean to confess? Kind of literally or technically, that word confess just means to agree with. So it's as though God has kind of sized us up. And our job is to do what? To agree with him. To agree with his kind of taking stock of who we are. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a really, really tough thing to do. I'd like to say I love getting feedback from people, but I'd be lying to you. I'd much rather we all just kind of live with the lie that I got it going on. And so if anybody's looking for a relationship like that with me, I'm open to it. But when people give me kind of honest feedback, and when people kind of tell me, here's what I see in you, or here's what's going on, you know what my first reaction is? I'm telling you, at first I always kind of, I could hear the voice inside my head defend myself. Well, you don't understand the whole context. You don't understand what was going on at that time, or that is just flat not true about me. I'm like always kind of doing impression management for myself. I need to hire like a full-time marketing team to kind of help kind of create this whole image. And when someone gives me honest, true, real feedback, it is really, really tough. And God is one of those people who is giving me honest feedback. And I have to tell you, sometimes I do not want to agree with what he's telling me. But to confess means that I'm going to agree with him about who I am. I'm going to agree with him about what I've done. I hope that in your mind, you're kind of thinking through like times in your life where you've had to confess something. And I know this isn't that big of a deal, but I remember, maybe it was at a critical age or a critical time. I remember my brother and I, we were probably about 10, and he was probably about 8 or 9 or so. He's a couple years younger than me. And I remember we were playing at this, we were out in the neighborhood. You know, this is back in the day when you could just kind of roam the countryside and come back in a day or two, and your parents didn't even worry about it. And so we were out on our bikes, and there was this convenience store that was being built down on the corner, and it was probably a couple of miles away from home, and it wasn't being built, but it was a great place to hang out and play and cause all kinds of ruckus, and, you know, there was construction stuff everywhere, and it was right on the side of the road. There was this huge mound of dirt, you know, and a kid and a big mound of dirt, that's like a whole afternoon right there. And so there were about 5 or 6 or 7 of us guys that ended up out there, and so we're sitting, you know, playing King of the Hill, and we're up at the top of the mountain. And it's probably about a good 8-10 foot mound of dirt here. And so we rode our bikes up it, and then we're sitting at the top. And somebody had the great idea, and I'm being serious, this was not my idea, but somebody among us had a great idea that as cars drove by, maybe we could roll some big clods of dirt down the hill out into the street and see if we could hit cars. That we weren't really throwing them at the cars. You know, gravity took over and things happened. Well, so we're doing this for about an hour, and nobody's hitting anything. Fortunately, we're not very good at it. Mm-hmm. And so this one guy, we see this one guy coming down the street, and sure enough, he's driving this way, and the passenger window is open. Mm-hmm. And as luck would have it, there it goes, right down the hill, hits the curb, goes right into the car, and hits his wife. Yeah. Uh-huh. And kids scattered off into the darkness like a bunch of cockroaches. Well, I have to tell you, that I did not throw that dirt clod. So I sat there on top of the hill. I'm like, I don't know what everybody's running for. I didn't do it. And everybody took off, and I was the only one left. And so guess who got hauled off? It was me. And it was brutal, you guys. I remember the whole time just going, it was not me. It was like Johnny, you know, and he was talking, and I saw it hit your wife. I'm sorry. And but the whole time, I remember just kind of continually defending myself. And in the end, I remember this experience. I remember finally going, but you know what? I had been throwing or letting them roll down and aiming at other cars. I just didn't roll that one. So I was like off on a technicality, like I needed a lawyer really quick as a 10-year-old there. But I remember this guy. He was so angry. I mean, he took me back to my parents' house. I mean, there was like parents. There was a whole neighborhood intervention going on right there with me. And I remember that it was going on for a long time, and I was so certain that I was innocent. And finally, at one point, I went, you know what? I didn't do that one, but I've been part of this. And it was like the whole tone of this meeting changed. Now, I'm not saying that this guy, all of a sudden, his heart softened towards me, but it was like nobody wanted my, you know, head on a platter any longer. My parents were much cooler about it, and it just softened. And it was amazing how the moment that I kind of agreed with the fact that I was culpable in this, and that this is who I was. I was a kid throwing dirt clods at a car going by. That's like the first time I remember actually confessing to anything. And I hope that you guys, that this isn't as strange a thing. But I imagine in your marriages, you are not someone who is quick to confess. you're just like me. You'll batten down the hatches for a couple of hours and say, well, it wasn't really me, or I didn't mean to do that, or somebody else made me do it, or, you know, I wouldn't do this if you weren't such a, well, fill in the blank. And so we're constantly defending ourselves and trying to kind of wiggle our way out of this. But I'm telling you, the only way out, the only way to true freedom and true healing in our marriage is to confess. You have to agree with what God says about who you are. And so we're going to do that as part of the culture here. This is why we ask you guys to be in a small group. Because we're not just there to have you guys kind of keep an eye on each other. We don't need kind of glorified babysitters here. We're trying to create an environment where you guys can actually agree with each other about what you guys have done to undermine your marriage and what you guys have done to undermine your relationships. We want to create an environment where you guys can confess to each other. I remember this was a little bit more recently. I remember my son, Josh, and some of you I've shared part of this story with, but it was one special night where he was really exploring whether to follow Christ or not. And we got to this one verse I was sharing with him. It was just me and him, this tender moment. He was sitting in his room, and I share with him this verse that says, it's in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I remember telling Josh this, that, you know, that means everybody has sinned. And he's like nodding with me, agreeing. And I said, that means even I've sinned, Josh, because he thinks pretty highly of me. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And so I'm starting to move on to like the next verse to explain it to him. And he stops and he goes, really, Dad? So like, what are some of your sins? Isn't that great? Just natural curiosity. He's not wanting to, you know, nail me to the wall. And I said, well, you know, I said, Josh, I've done some awful things growing up. I mean, I've been really mean to people, like really disrespectful to folks. And I've been really angry. And, you know, I said, I've used really bad language at people before. I said, I've lied to people. And he's like nodding with me, kind of in like, yeah, yeah. And then for some reason in my mind flashed this episode at that same convenience store after it was built a couple of years later. I remember going down there and stealing some baseball cards. And I kind of stuck them in my pocket and shoplifted them and got out of there. And for some reason that came into my mind. So I told Josh, I said, I've stole before. And so, you know, those are some of the things Dad's done. And no kidding. I said, well, what about you? He goes, why? He goes, Dad, I've been mean to people and I've lied to folks. And I've never stolen anything, though. I mean, look at it. I'm sure he thought I was like, you know, like Grand Theft Auto or something like that. But I have to tell you, it was so great for me, just with my son, just to agree with what God says about me, that I'm a liar and stealer. I'm someone who treats people like just trash at times. And I wasn't saying anything that my son was going, oh, Dad, please, you don't really do that. He was like, yeah, I could see it. That doesn't surprise me. And there wasn't any condemnation, but there was great freedom in being able to be honest with him and to confess with him. So it wasn't exactly a whip and a, you know, bright spotlight interrogation room, and it wasn't exactly with the priest, but it was something really powerful, you guys. And I love the fact that my son kind of has a picture in his mind of what does it mean to confess. I want you guys, and I want this for you as much as I want it for me, I want so desperately for me being honest with Rebecca to be just a normal characteristic of our marriage. We've spent way too much time pretending with each other that we're much better people than we are. And I love this, you guys. The opposite of confession, get this, the opposite of confession, look back in verse 8. Of 1 John, it says, if we say that we have no sin, this is interesting. It says, we are deceiving ourselves. So the opposite of confession is to be someone who is a liar. You guys, are you any of you liars? Yes, you are. Good answer. And you're being honest for a change. I remember just one more story with you. I remember we had changed schools, and it was right at the end of the school year, and we started at this new school, and so I was going through this really rough time of wanting to fit in, and I remember showing up to school, and I didn't have my homework done, and so I lied to the teacher about my homework, and then I got in trouble about something else, and I'm telling you, like in one day, I started cooking about five different lies to different teachers and different kids, and you know, I felt like I was a pretty sharp guy, I could keep track of them. And I remember who I told what and, you know, all the nuances. And I remember laying in bed that night. So I'm going to bed. It's just me. And I remember going, I need to review these so I'm on top of these when I hit the ground running tomorrow. Because there was a lot of lies going on. And I figured, hey, if I'm going to pull this off, I got to manage this stuff well. And I remember, I know you guys know way too much about me now. I feel so much better, though, getting a lot of this off my chest. And so I remember laying in bed, you guys, and I remember, no kidding, I remember not knowing what really happened because I had so many lies going. The lies were so good that even I kind of lost track with reality. Isn't that interesting? So even the scriptures right here says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. Do you know that if you don't start to begin to implement this culture of confession in your marriage, you are deceiving you. You're the one who gets lost in this. Your marriage is going to get sunk, you guys, if you don't start getting honest with each other. We got to start taking ownership for our own garbage, you guys. And it starts by sharing it with some friends that love each other, and it starts with sharing it with your spouse, where there's grace and no condemnation. But just because you confess doesn't mean that there's not going to be consequences. But I'm telling you, there is no other way to freedom. There is no other way to a really rich relationship with your spouse unless you're going to be honest with them. You have got to take the courage of confessing with each other. Just to wrap things up, I love the promise right at the end of this verse, you guys. Verse 9 says, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the reward. That's the promise that you get if you confess with one another. So tonight, you guys are going to get unleashed to go be in your small groups. So guess what tonight would be a great opportunity to do? Tonight's a great night to confess. Tonight's a great night to be honest with each other and to be honest with yourselves about who you are and about what you've been up to. Let me pray for you, and then Joy's going to come up and share a couple of announcements. Father, we come before you as a community who is just bent on defending ourselves. And Father, we have seen the fruit of it. We have lost track of reality. We have deceived ourselves. And we want to turn away from that. And so, Father, would you lead us towards repentance? Would you lead us to become people who just own our own junk? And we're honest with you about who we are. Father, we're going to need a lot of courage to do that with our spouse. For some reason, that's the last place. This is the last bastion of a relationship where we're just intent on pretending with each other for some reason. And so we pray that you just bring light into a dark place, into our hearts. I pray that, Father, there would be just great freedom and cleansing and forgiveness that follow. And so we commit ourselves to you and ask that you'd help us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.